Welcome to the Toffee Blues, your source for all things Everton, and welcome to another podcast where we are going to be starting off, as usual, with the extra time segment, where Thomas, Teddy and Owen will be here to look back on our dismal 1-0 defeat at Spurs. Then after that horrific midfield display at Tottenham, I'll be back and I'll be asking, should we give some of the under-23s a go in that position instead? And for that debate, I'll be joined by Paul McAllister. And then Paul and I will be back to look ahead to our upcoming Thursday fixture against Southampton in another match preview segment. As you know, these segments are separate on YouTube, so without further ado, I'll hand you over to Thomas, Teddy and Owen, rather them than me, to go over the extra time for that Spurs game.
Obviously, very disappointing result last night at the time of recording. This is going to be your extra time video reacting to the disappointing 1-0 away defeat to Spurs. There's plenty to dissect here, so we'll just get straight into it. I'll come to Terry first. We'll skip kind of the general reactions because, I mean, I gather both of you are going to think that was quite a negative performance. No one really enjoyed that. Just starting off with Terry, if you could pick kind of one place where it went wrong, what would you say it was? Where did we lose the game last night?
Probably on the team sheet, the whole thing. to be honest, not very many players put themselves in glory, but I think the worst offenders, no surprise, will be the midfield. Shocking again. It's mostly accepted that our best midfielder is Andre Gomez, and he didn't complete a single tackle all game. That shows how bad the whole midfield is. But put it this way, we finished the game with a teenage winger who started the season in the under-23s, just coming out of the under-18s, and at centre midfield. So that speaks volumes for how bad the centre midfielders were, but it wasn't just them, it was everyone. Pickford, we'll go on to him later, absolutely stupid, thick brain dead. I'm telling you, there's only three players who I can say come out of that game shouldn't get an ass kicking, and it's Richarlison, Luca Dean and Anthony Gordon. And it's not even to say Richarlison and Luca Dean played well, they just weren't shockingly bad like the rest.
Oh, don't worry, I've got absolutely nothing to add to that. I mean, I completely agree that, I mean, the midfield was a joke last night. Obviously, Ancelotti definitely tried something. He tried to put more central midfielders into the middle. And obviously, if they're all going to, kind of bottle tackles, not have much energy, not really get the ball forwards at all, it's nothing that he can really do. There's clearly a massive central midfield rebuild job that's needed. I mean, Gomez, obviously, he had that really bad injury and he hasn't quite come back the same, to be fair, but I don't think he's really been the same since Gay left last year. He clearly needs that kind of defensive presence who's going to add more energy because he's not the most energetic, he's not the quickest. He needs kind of that body next to him, and obviously he's not getting that in Gylfi Sigurdsson, especially in central midfield, which is kind of where he started with Davies outright. And then another poor game, I thought, from Davies. I'm struggling to see where he really fits into the side at the moment because we obviously started him kind of outright kind of when we were defending in the 4-4-2. He obviously can't play there. He's not as much of a box-to-box as I think maybe the club want him to become, because I don't think he's good enough on the ball. He's quite wasteful in possession. And then obviously Sigurdsson, I mean, what more do we have to say about Gylfi Sigurdsson? I mean, Gary Neville kind of hit the nail on the head. I mean, he was kind of ripping us to shreds yesterday, as he always does, but to be fair, I think most of it was quite right, to be fair. I mean, Sigurdsson, I don't think Sky Sports often zoom in slow motion on players bottling 50-50s, but obviously that's what you get with Gylfi Sigurdsson. And we're all absolutely sick of him. I thought yesterday just summed up a Gylfi Sigurdsson performance absolutely in a game that he really should have taken hold of. Spurs were happy to defend for large parts of the game. Surely in a game like that, an attacking midfielder like Gylfi Sigurdsson would surely take hold of the game, and he absolutely didn't, which is kind of doing my head in now. But obviously this is what we're used to, and obviously we need a massive rebuild job in the centre midfield. Owen, you got anything to add to that?
Yeah, I understand why the three midfielders in terms of Davies, Gomez and Sigurdsson were played, because when we shift into a defensive formation and the three midfielders drop in central, one of the wingers go into a wing back and then we play three at the back. It suits them three midfielders more to play there than it would when Anthony Gordon comes in there, because obviously Anthony Gordon's a winger, not a midfielder. Though what I would say is he did more than 10 minutes in midfield, in the centre midfield, than I think Andre Gomez has done in 3 games since the lockdown, to be honest. So, what a woeful performance that was from the whole of midfield. Sigurdsson, the jury's been out on him for about a year for me. It's all right scoring a goal or an odd assist when he does so, but it shouldn't sort of like replace the other like 80 minutes where he doesn't touch the ball. Tom Davies, I feel sorry for him, because in a team where it's all the confidence is flowing and he's in a quick mobile midfield, which we've never seen him in at Everton, he might be all right, but the problem is at Everton he isn't quick, and then none of the other midfielders are quick. And as for Gomez, I've never known a midfielder to be so low for doing so little. He's all right passing from one side to the other and shielding the ball, but as for driving forward and creating anything or even putting in a tackle, he's pretty useless, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think Gomez, as I said, he's really struggling without the defensive presence, which we knew he lacked, and obviously he's been asked to do more of now. He's kind of playing those two centre midfielders. But kind of moving on from the midfield, and I know Terry's going to be bursting to talk about John Pickford here. He had another almost howler yesterday when the corner came in. It just goes straight through his hands. I mean, just, yeah, going over to Terry, what do we do about John Pickford at the moment? Because he doesn't seem to stop making these just daft mistakes.
He's been like this for ages, but when you prioritise the problems that was, and, you know, need players to come in to replace them, obviously people, you know, most people would say central midfield and then it'll be right back, it'll be right mids, it'll be, you know, weaker areas. He's an emergency now. He needs to be dealt with, because he's not only like making mistakes consistently, he's getting to the point where he's doing it every game now. He's an absolute liability. He's useless. Every single match now, he does something stupid and then he sticks his tongue out and, you know, pulls a face, or he'll do something absolutely ridiculous. Like, I mean, the end of the game, you know, he's threw everyone up front. We've got Michael Keane, we've got Yerry Mina, we've got everyone from Calvert-Lewin, Moyes Keane, you know, big players. And all he needs to do is put it into the box. And this goalkeeper, who's supposedly good distribution and is good with his feet, hits on the wing Bernard, who's, you know, 5 foot something. Like, you know, he's tiny. He's the smallest player on the whole pitch. And Pickford, with time, not under pressure or anything, looks for an option and hits Bernard with the ball. Gary Neville highlighted it. You can just tell Gary Neville wants Everton to do well, probably despite Liverpool. He wants us to do well, and he's just exacerbated. And I just feel like saying, Gary, we've been dealing with this for years. Absolute years. Like, stupidity from our players like that. I know it's probably not realistic, given, you know, the financial situation and, you know, the market being suppressed. You won't get buyers and what have you. But he is an absolute priority now to be replaced, because he's one of the things holding this team back. Now, we'll never get any better than we are right now with him in goal.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah.
The problem with him is that if you look around the Premier League, you've got keepers who, they're making an odd mistake, but you don't see them like flap at every cross like he does. You'll see a keeper make a mistake, and I think Guaita at Palace is a good example. He makes a mistake, but that's surrounded by 7 good, like 8 out of 10 performances. He just flaps at every cross. He might make a good save, but then he ruins it by just making silly errors. They don't even always lead to goals, but if a team would punish it, they would. He's absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I mean, obviously in the list of priorities, sadly, I think he's definitely getting up there. I think a while ago, we could always just get away with saying Pickford's not the priority, because sometimes he has some good games, but at the moment he's having just kind of shocker after shocker. And then I think it's clear Terry wants a new goalkeeper potentially in the summer or after. Owen, just coming to you, from that game alone, kind of standalone, what would you say is the one position in the summer we would need to just go and strengthen? If it's not Jordan Pickford, who else would it be?
It's them two midfielders. The I'd say the whole midfield four in an ideal world, I'd replace every one of them, because I don't think any of them are good enough. But if I had to make a specific, it'd be Gomez at Sigurdsson's position, because I don't think either of them are quick enough or can tackle.
Yeah, definitely. We've kind of just lost all defensive presence. Obviously, one day maybe Gbamon will come back and he might play for us, and maybe he'll be that defensive, maybe energetic presence that we need. But until then, we know Delph's obviously never going to stop being injured either. And I don't really want to see Delph play for Everton again. I think his attitude's just a bit of a joke, to be fair. I can't stand him when he plays, you know, or off the pitch, to be fair. And I think I always thought for the longest time we needed a right winger. Just to add more creativity and energy. But to be fair, after yesterday's central midfield performance, I don't understand how we can't strengthen that position, especially if, as we know, finances are tight in the summer and we've got to pick one or two positions where we can't be making marquee signings, but someone has to come in. If we're not looking to strengthen central midfield, I don't really know what's going on with the club's transfer strategy, to be fair, because I don't understand. And I don't think Ancelotti will be looking at that and thinking, that midfield's fine, we can just move on to other places. I believe that he knows it's wrong. And he won't be happy, I'll imagine, because he can't implement. Kind of, because obviously he tried something tactically yesterday where he tried to put more centre midfielders, you know, in the middle. And he saw that it absolutely didn't work. And that was kind of in a bid to kind of not be overrun by Spurs' central midfield in what was a crucial game. We were same points as Spurs, I think. And then we were a couple of points off Arsenal. A win there would have, you know, put us massively towards Europe, the Europa League especially. Terry, how unlikely is European football now, do you think?
I mean, a lot can change with these quick-fire games, but I wrote it off completely. It was a long shot before last night, because it's not in our hands. You're relying on other teams to drop points. But you never know. Like, Man City lost to Southampton. You just don't know. I'm at the point now, though, where I'm like, you know what? We'd be frauds if we did get into it, because how can you get into European football with midfielders like that? I think that if we get in there, and I'm not usually of this opinion, because I want Everton to be in Europe regardless, no matter what. But at this point, with, you know, the delayed season and, you know, the no pre-season, it might actually, in this scenario, be more harmful, because the club might look at players like Sigurdsson and turn around and go, it's worth keeping him for the European games, when I think, you know, the clear run at it next season for Ancelotti might be the way to go, considering, you know, the change in calendar, the change in format. It might not be the best thing for the club as a business. I don't know, I could be wrong, but it's just, It's a fantasy. We're not good enough to play in Europe. We're just not. If you look at the teams around us, Spurs were begging us to beat them yesterday. They were that bad, and we couldn't even create a decent chance against them. They must have been made up that we'd rolled into town, because we haven't got
a tackle chance.
But no chance. Absolutely no chance. But it's not about that. Last night didn't tell us anything we didn't know. Let's be honest. We don't turn up for the games where there's big pressure, or most of the players don't. When there's something on the game, the players just put in performances like that. And when we go to away ground, it doesn't matter. Spurs could have 22 injuries and put their kids out, put their women's team out. Everton would conspire to, you know, not turn up and not perform on the night. So, it as I say, nothing we didn't already know. Ancelotti will have not been shocked by that. He knows what, you know, some of these players aren't good enough and need replacing. And got to be said as well, some of the players who are more popular, I think the bloom's off the rose now for the Bernards and the Andre Gomez's. Like, when they came in, it was under a sort of, the club and the supporters had just come up from a massive letdown season under Koeman and then Allardyce, where we'd had Wayne Rooney in centre midfield all year and what have you. So when, and Bolasie and what have you out wide, and Nias getting games and Martina at left back. So when Gomez, Dean, Bernard and everyone come in, Gomez and Bernard, they didn't contribute very much, but they were good footballers. They looked nice on the eye. Bernard can drop his shoulder. Gomez can shield the ball and throw it, you know, 40 yards to the other wing. It was a refreshing uptick in style. But now that we're, you know, 18 months, you know, well, 2 years removed from that, you now want a little bit more from them, and they're not producing it. So I don't think anyone apart from the two front men and the left back are safe, and Anthony Gordon now are safe in the summer. We're not going to get 10 players in the summer, but now, you know, that centre midfield, any centre midfielder we buy is an immediate starter. Now, Jean-Paul Gabamon, you know, he best be Patrick Vieira or Roy Keane, because he's not going to save that midfield by himself. He needs help when he gets to play.
Yeah, what I would say about Europe is I think now that win for Spurs last night means it's between the current four, from seventh to tenth. So you're looking at Spurs, Arsenal, Burnley and Sheffield United. I think you're looking at one of them. I think we're too far gone now in terms of points. I know we've got Bournemouth and Villa and Southampton at home, which is the games we normally win. But I just think it's too far gone, and I think them other teams have better fixtures either than us. So I think it's too far gone, and I would also agree that it's probably in our best interest that we don't play in it next season. Because I just think it'll cause more issues than
we're just not ready as a squad and as a club.
No, especially with kind of the injuries that we keep getting. You know, if we've got Delph, Gabam and Walcott injured, that's already kind of a thin squad. And then we'd have to go and play on Thursday nights, and then potentially a more busy Premier League schedule if the season starts later or whenever it starts. Because I don't know if that's been officially announced yet. And then we could go on to talk about kind of the mentality and how we always bottle away games, but I feel that it's kind of always the same. Ancelotti kind of knows the task he's got ahead of him. I mean, you look at the games he's lost, they're all mainly away to, you know, the Sky Six or whatever we want to call them, which we know has been a problem for years. But kind of move away from the negative. Obviously, the majority of yesterday was negative. In terms of positives, as we've already kind of mentioned, Anthony going through the middle. And out wide when he was told to play out there when he came on. Terry, just how good can this lad be? I mean, he got his assist against Leicester. He looked probably one of our brighter players. Would you say he kind of just needs to be starting for the rest of the season? Do we need to build around him? Kind of going into next season, how important do you think he's going to be in kind of that creative kind of central role? Which, to be fair, I think we should probably expect Sigurdsson to be doing as the more experienced kind of central attack midfield role that he doesn't do. But obviously, Gordon looks happy, you know, to pick up the ball, carry it forwards, and then, you know, try things, which was remarkable against Spurs yesterday in our team, which was just lacking creativity, confidence, energy and everything. Just how good can Gordon be, do you think?
I don't know. I think people need to calm down getting excited about him. He's not this, you know, Wayne Rooney type kid who's going to come in and transform the side through his quality. But he definitely should be starting the rest of the season because, let's be honest, just having a bit of energy and a bit of effort has made him look like a mile apart from the rest of the midfielders. I think people are sucked into this. We did it with Tom Davies and, you know, we've done it with other players in the past. I think people are getting a little bit too eager, like, oh, Anthony Gordon, he's gonna be amazing. He could be a good player. I think he will be a good player, but I think people need to just calm down a bit. He should be playing. He's proved enough already to show he belongs in the first team, and he belongs in among that mix. And if his competition is Iwobi, Bernard, Walcott, Sigurdsson for these positions, for these spots in the team, then, you know, he's got to play, because injuries permitting, I don't think I'd like to see Sigurdsson play again for the kickoff. I know realistically, you know, we're going to have to, because the centre midfield, you know, Carlo can't put in centre midfielders that don't exist. He hasn't got them. You know, I never thought I'd ever miss Fabian Delph, but I would have had him playing last week. But I think Gordon's a good player. I think he will be a good player. I think it's up to him to nail down a position in the system. Like, I think if he got his way, he'd probably play up front in a 4-4-2, but it's not likely to happen considering the front players we've already got. So he needs to pick one of those wings and say, that's mine, and I'm going to make sure that's mine, because they're the easiest inroads into the team. So I would be playing him for the rest of the season on either wing, and as long as he's fit, because the difference he made last night just by having a bit of freshness, a bit of energy, was unbelievable. He looked like he was a £45 million player when he came on, and Sigurdsson looked like he was the academy kid who was out of his depth.
Yeah, I would go as far as well to say there are three World Cup first E players as well over the Bernard and the Roby, because I think the pair of them are not bad. Walcott, I'm not his biggest fan, but I think he can run with the ball at least, and then I think Gordon can. So I think that gives you more energy than Bernard and the Roby.
Certainly more than Sigurdsson.
Yeah, definitely. I think we needed that yesterday. Energy was kind of... I thought when we came back from the restart, the most energetic team was kind of just going to win, whoever's the fittest. But now we're quite a few games into that now. I think fitness is kind of not the discussion now. I mean, we were more than fit enough to play against Leicester, so we should have been more than fit enough to play this game. But we looked shattered kind of from start to finish, which I don't understand, because we did have a bigger gap than you might expect during this kind of restart period. But then, obviously, in terms of gaps, there's now only 2 or 3 days until we play Southampton now. So there's not much time at all. Kind of just around here, obviously, this isn't a Southampton preview, but just kind of from that game, we've kind of picked the same kind of 11, 12, 13 players so far. Is the Southampton game, do you think? And I'll leave this open to you. Is this now the time to make changes now? See who's... run some players out, get them fit, see who kind of works in the system that we might not have seen before. Do you think this is possibly just it now? Europe's probably out the window. You know, we can try things now, we can risk things and see potentially who we don't have to offload in the summer, who can just stay around as a squad player, or, you know, what do we do for the rest of the season now?
I don't think Ancelotti will go for that, because I think he just wants to get points on the board. I think it'll look better for him if he gets 50-plus points in the wood to play a few youngsters. I probably would throw a few in. I'd probably even go as far as to say I'd put Azad Nieren on the bench for a start and Sims, but I'm unsure what he will do. I think as much as we berate last night's performance, I think he'll be pretty happy with how we've done since the restart, considering we played Spurs, who are poor at the moment, but they are a decent team. Leicester in the top three, Liverpool, okay, Norwich, but I think we've got a decent point return. I think if we don't beat Southampton, then I think it might start seeing a few changes in what we do, but I don't think there'll be anything radical.
No, I agree. I can't see them being wholesale changes, because I think he knows who he wants and who he doesn't want. I don't think that was a shock to him last night at all. I mean, we've got some good results since the restart, but we haven't played, you know, exceptionally well, apart from a very short spell at the beginning of the Leicester match. Obviously been very good defensively for the most part. But no, I wouldn't expect that. I think obviously you'll see, I mean, Gordon was starting. It was only last night that he didn't. I think Gordon probably will be in the team. I think you might possibly see a little bit of rotation with the front two just to protect them fitness-wise. You might start seeing Moyes Keane from the start in the match or two. But other than that, I don't think so. I would be surprised if we saw Branthwaite outside of a substitute appearance maybe towards the end of the season or what have you. No, he'll play the first team that he's got, and he'll just protect one or two from injury and fatigue, and that'll be it, because he doesn't need at this point, I think, any more convincing by some of the players he's already got.
Yeah, I agree, Millie. I mean, I think we could start seeing Sidibe, maybe. I mean, there's one player that could come in. We don't know how fit Coleman really is, but Sidibe was... I don't want to see him. No, I don't want to see him at all, but he might just be tried.
I think there's close to zero chance of seeing Sidibe playing some of these games. If he's up against the Dharma on Sunday, he ain't got a chance of playing.
I mean, to be fair, I think he's got a chance of getting the team, because obviously we saw Coleman kind of trail off yesterday towards the end, and obviously he did come on. He does look like a bull in a china shop, though, when he runs forwards. But the club, you never know. They might want to see what he can do. I don't think we're going to make his transfer permanent. I think that's pretty much agreed now.
The jury is no longer out on Sidibe. It's back in. I think the verdict is,
yeah,
there's no way. I mean, I'd just like to see him trap a ball and not have a go out for a throw-in. How many times has he done that? I swear to God. I mean, we could see him on the right midfield to give us that, you know, wide balance. And, you know, Sidibe on the right and Gordon on the left might be something we see, considering how bad Iwobi was. But I think if Coleman's fit, I can't see I think Carlo's made his decision that Coleman's his right back until he gets a new one. So I think Sidibe, next time you see him, might be the last time.
Yeah, I mainly agree. So there you have it. That's our extra time video on the Spurs game. Massively disappointing. Maybe a lost chance to Europe, which might not be the worst thing considering fitness and fixture pile up next season.
Welcome to a little discussion show with me and Paul, where we're going to basically discuss what the next move is for our midfield with regards to maybe the under-23s getting a go, because let's be honest, what we witnessed against Tottenham the other day was just horrific, wasn't it, from pretty much every midfielder. Paul, do you think it's time to give one of the kids a go? They can't do any worse, can they?
I don't see why not, to be honest, because a lot of players who have been using have run out of chances.
Absolutely.
You know, Sigurdsson is, there's no way to describe how bad he is. Get rid of him ASAP. In regards to the wingers, I'm not particularly a fan of Bernard. I don't think he's crap or anything. I just don't see him as this kind of difference maker in a lot of games.
No, he doesn't create. I mean, he creates, but he doesn't actually get any assists as such, does he? He doesn't seem to put the ball on a sixpence for the strikers or anything like that.
No, and he doesn't seem to take on players as much anymore. He's been really bad since the restart.
Definitely, and Iwobi does take players on, but other than that, he does very little.
Iwobi is just an absolute mystery, isn't he?
Yeah, it's one of them. He can have a great game like he did against Norwich, and then otherwise he's just awful. But
Iwobi's a weird player. Davis is so inconsistent. He'll always have his critics. Gomez hasn't got the legs to play in that midfield on his own, clearly. He needs someone with a lot of pace next to him, like Gayad. And Gabamin's... I don't think we'll ever see Gabamin. So
we saw that, didn't we, with the tier? Do you know, someone made a tier ranking thing for our squad, and Gabamin was just his own rank at the bottom, because there's just like it doesn't even play. So what's the point in like ranking him? We haven't even got a performance to go by with Jean-Philippe Gabamin. But
yeah,
with regard to the centre mids in particular, there's just no dynamism in the middle of the park, is there? I mean, you mentioned Gomez and the lack of legs. He's just not at the races at all. I don't know whether the 4-4-2 is for him. And if there was any positive to take, and I'm really clutching at straws here, by the way, but if there was any positive to take out of that Spurs game, it has to be the fact that Gary Neville did a very good job of highlighting how awful Gylfie Sigurdsson is when the going gets tough.
Yeah, I suppose so. But is that a positive, or is that just going to put any potential buyers off buying him because they've seen with their own eyes how god-awful and useless he is?
Well, I'll be honest, going into that game, I wasn't expecting there to be any potential buyers. I heard the Sheffield United rumour today, but with the exception of that, I wasn't expecting anyone to be flooding us with offers for Sigurdsson, to be quite honest, given you consider the wage that he's, let's say, stealing at the moment. And I just thought it was refreshing to see Sky Sports actually, or like one of the main broadcasters, actually lay into our players, because too often it's easy to slate the manager. And I know one of the a typical cop-eye journalist like did come out and try and slate Ancelotti for it last night, which is absolutely absurd. Yeah. But it was good to see the players get a bit of a telling off from the commentators for once, because some of them just fall way below the standard on far too regular basis. And I think we're very much naming names there, Gylfie Sigurdsson. So,
yeah, I agree with you. But Benny Beningame, what's he got to do to get a chance for me? I really like him. I mean, we haven't seen much of him the last few years, but I remember that little spell that he got in the team when Koeman got sacked and Unsworth came in, and then eventually Allardyce took over. He played a fair bit in that season, particularly
Special, but he was certainly more of a grafter than anything we've got in the middle of the park now.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a few years older now. He's been out on loan since then. I know he didn't get a lot of game time when he was out on loan, but hopefully he's a little bit wiser. He's learnt a few things. And hopefully as well, he's hungrier than ever to try and make a goal of his Everton career. Because if it doesn't work out under Ancelotti, then
it never will.
How long he's got Yeah, how long's Beningham even got left on his contract?
I've no idea, to be honest, but I think it should be enough time to give him a few goals between now and the end of the season. And what it's worth noting now is, whether you like to admit it or not, having lost that game last night, it's done and dusted now as far as getting into Europe's concerned. We're not going to get in the top 7 or 8 or whatever it takes to get into Europe next season. It's not going to happen, full stop. But what that does mean is, with less to play for, we've got to start blooding some of the kids.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
This is the time now.
Yeah, and it goes back to something Jurgen Klopp said the other day in regards to Liverpool's kids. Somebody asked him, now that the season's like kind of over for Liverpool, essentially, why don't you give some of the youngsters a chance? And he said something that I personally agree with. He said, I don't hand out Premier League appearances for Christmas presents. I don't just play kids for the sake of playing them. So I'm not saying that we should just drop every underperforming player and just put a load of under-23s in there, because we don't want to...
Some people have gone very knee-jerk on that front and said just play the whole under-23s.
Exactly, yeah. Some people call for that, saying, oh, these overpaid title players don't have any passion, give the kids a go. I agree with that to a point, but you can't just basically throw away games between now and the end of the season. I don't want to end up finishing somewhere like 14th.
No, so, definitely not.
Yeah, but when certain players in certain positions are playing so badly and it's clear they've got no future at the club, really, like Sigurdsson, give a chance to a young player who still might stick around for the long term. As I was saying earlier on, Beningham, if he gets a chance, could break through and do what Gordon's done and shown that he's actually got a lot to offer and he's someone who we want to keep around for next season and beyond.
So, well, we've got to see how they fare in the first team football, really. We need to see them play for the Everton first team in a Premier League game and see how they get on to actually decide that.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened too many times over the last few years. I can think of a few players off the top of my head who get a few games in the Everton first team at some point in a season and they do okay, nothing spectacular, nothing terrible. But then when players come back from injury or someone else is signed, they kind of just drop out of the picture. And I don't really understand why. It happened to Galloway. It happened to Tyus Browning. You know, Garbutt, he's probably the best example.
Plenty. Well, Garbutt had the bad injury, to be fair. But Galloway and Browning are very good examples. Beningham and other. And there's probably been a few others over the... I mean, even to an extent, you could say John Joe Kenny as well. Going out on loan. Because he was... Before Coleman's recovery from that injury, he was getting a lot of first-team appearances, and that's tailed off now, which is a shame. I think he will get a chance next season, now that he's back from Schalke.
Yeah. But
it's a case of, will we give these other kids a go? Beningham, Dennis Adeniran. I've seen a lot of good things said about him, and we haven't seen... Yeah. He hasn't made one first-team appearance, which is... It might say he isn't, maybe he isn't good enough, but we'll never know if he doesn't play a game.
Yeah, Seb Quirk just signed a new contract as well, didn't he?
And yeah, he did. I think he's a lot younger than the names we're naming there, though, isn't he?
He's about 18, isn't he? Yeah, but I am willing to bet a fair bit of money that Ancelotti probably hasn't seen a lot of these youngsters. So,
well, he's probably going to say the same thing he said about Garbutt and that presser.
Who are they? Yeah, exactly. And that's not to put them down. He's just not been here long enough to really have a look at absolutely everybody and form a fair opinion on them.
Well, now with the season effectively being over, is now not the best time for him to maybe analyse some of those players?
I think so, yeah, definitely. And as I was saying before, that doesn't mean just handing out appearances willy-nilly, but give chances to some players who are... probably who've been at the club a fair bit of time, like a Beningham, and you've got the excuse to drop players who play in their position because they've just been so bad and players are desperate to see the back of them. Then let's say if someone like Beningham comes in and he has an absolute stinker, the supporters are not going to, I think, go absolutely berserk. They're not going to jump on the manager and say, oh, what was he doing playing that kid in that position? Because...
You're underestimating Everton fans here. You can find the reason to complain.
Yeah, we've found fault in everything. But what I'm saying is the manager should feel secure in giving a chance to a youngster, because he knows that the alternative are playing so badly.
It's horrific, yeah.
Yeah, that they can hardly do any worse. And even if they do, at least we found something out about that player that we didn't know beforehand.
And at least he's only a kid who we can probably get rid of for a small fee. And, you know, he's not on a big wage instead of these wasters on 120k a week.
Yeah. And it goes back to something I just mentioned before. Some of these players come in, they get a few games here and there, and then they just drop out the picture entirely. And I always think, what happened to them? What happened to Galloway? What happened to Browning? What happened to
Garbutt? What could have gone so wrong? Because they didn't necessarily perform awfully.
Yeah, they didn't look like they were nowhere near good enough when they got in. They had a few appearances here and there, and for the most part, they looked okay. Now, obviously, afterwards, they've gone on loan, and it's not worked out for them, and they've basically come back and kind of felt like they were persona non grata. Luke Garbutt touched on that, didn't he, in his interview with Tom a few days ago? Yeah, he said, okay, I went out on loan to Fulham. It didn't work out, but I came back still feeling like I was young enough to kick on and progress at Everton. And hopefully get another chance to show the management, okay, that loan move didn't work, but that doesn't mean that the club just has to totally give up on me and assume I'm not good enough. But that's just what we seem to do all the time. So I hope Beningham and the likes aren't the latest victim of that, because I know he went to Wigan and it didn't really pan out for him, did it? He didn't play much. But I hope that hasn't resulted in everyone at the club just thinking that...
Writing him off because he wasn't good enough to get in the Wigan team, so he shouldn't play for Everton.
Yeah, and the only reason he's getting on the bench is to make up numbers. I hope that's not the case. I hope he's training with the first team and he's getting on the first team bench under the assumption that Ancelotti thinks he might have a use. So, yeah, I want to see him given a go and maybe one or two other youngsters, because they could be another Anthony Gordon. They could come in, they could show everybody something that we've been missing and give supporters a bit of positivity for the future.
A bit of optimism for next season.
Bit of optimism in the sense that, okay, I know this is crap now, but a lot of our underperformers are all old and they're going to be gone soon. And when these youngsters break through and get a bit of season, things will pick up and we've got the manager to bring them through.
Not just that as well. If these players like a Beningame or an Adina or maybe another defensive mid, I know there's a very promising youngster called Onyango, isn't there, in the under-23s, who's a centre mid and he could have a chance. He's very young, but nonetheless, he's meant to be quite promising. If any of those guys come in and perform well, that might save us a fortune buying players next summer or this summer, whenever it may be.
Where's Lewis Gibson? Where's he? Is he still out on loan?
He's on loan back? Fleetwood, but they've just been knocked out the playoffs, haven't they, Fleetwood? So I'm not sure if he'll be returning.
If he can come back and play, Yeah, but if Gibson can come back and be registered, I don't know the rules on that. I'll have to check. But
we might not need to buy Gabriel or something like that, and that saves us another 20 million.
Yeah, or we could put him on the bench and move Holgate into the midfield. I know I've seen people wanting to try that. And
I mean, I don't see why we don't try that, because, I mean, I thought Keane and Mina played okay together at the back yesterday, regardless of how bad the team were. And if Holgate's fit, I'd give him a go in midfield and play those two at the back, because we've seen Holgate make a few appearances in midfield, and I'll be honest, he was better than what we've been playing in the last couple of games, that's for sure.
He's been the best whole midfielder we've used this season in that position.
That's a damning indictment, isn't it? When he's playing out of position, it's a damning indictment.
Out of position. I can't think of... That game that he played against United in particular, when Ferguson put him there, and I think he put him there for Chelsea as well, didn't he? The game before?
Arsenal, maybe.
Was it Arsenal? In Ferguson's little run, wasn't it, when he took over for a few games. But he played better in that number six than Davis, Gomez, Sigurdsson even. I know Sigurdsson was put there for a few times. None of those central midfielders are played anywhere near as well as Holgate did in that position. And he's a centre-back who was originally a right-back. So
it says a lot about how good and how flexible Holgate is, but also you name those names there. Tom Davis maybe is the only other player who I know who can actually put a tackle in. Gomez just kicks people and
he hasn't got the legs
and then flips at the ref when it was an obviously foul. Sigurdsson doesn't even bother putting a foot in, as we can see yesterday's game. It was just he just cowers out of the challenge. And then obviously you've got Delph, who's, he probably does put a tackle in, but either gets sent off or gets injured in the process.
Yeah, I've not even mentioned him, yeah.
We don't really want to mention
him. He's gone out of my brain completely. That's
I'd like it to be that
silly
way for me.
And that's turned out to be.
I'd like that to be that way for me. It's just, I don't want him in my head.
He's just been such a waste of time signing, hasn't he? And
waste of time, waste of money. Just stupid. It was a sign that looked good in theory when we made it, but I think you've got to realise a lot of people were comparing him to Gareth Barry because of the experience and coming from a title-winning City team. But the difference is Gareth Barry was an astute model professional and Fabian Delph's an arrogant, overrated twerp, let's be honest. The way he interacts on social media, that whole you'd ask for a photograph and all that.
To be honest, I don't particularly care about him getting into arguments with people on social media. I hate Sigurdsson a lot more than I hate Delph, because Delph, when he's on the pitch, regardless of what you think of him off the pitch, on the pitch he puts in far more effort, and that's what I care about ultimately. But he's still been a really crap signing. So the top and bottom of it is the central midfield is so bad that I want to see a young kid get put in there, or I want to see Holgate get moved further forward. And if that happens, bring a young kid who's a defender and use him on the bench. Just give them the match day experience of training with the first team and sitting there and taking instructions.
More of a chance maybe for Branthwaite or somebody to get a go at the back then.
Yeah. Branthwaite's been highly rated, hasn't he? So I just want to see as many young kids in the first team as possible.
I think that's got to be the aim now, because obviously we're not in the transfer window yet. We can't bring new faces in, but we need some new faces to see in the first team between now and the end of the season to give us a bit of optimism, because the current first team that we've witnessed all season and during the resumption, it's just not cutting the mustard, especially in the midfield like we've been discussing here. It's just, the midfield is just abysmal, isn't it? That what we've been currently doing, and whether it's a 4-4-2, 4-2-3-1, it doesn't matter. These players are letting you down regardless of what the formation is.
Yeah. I think we just need some new faces. I know we're unlikely to sign any major names because of the pandemic, even when the transfer window was open. But supporters are that fed up looking at the likes of Sigurdsson and Delph and Gomez and Davis and Bernard and players like that. We just need some fresh blood. Just need someone to come in and offer something else.
And shake it up a bit.
Yeah. Honestly, give supporters someone else to focus on for a couple of weeks.
And maybe someone who comes in and shames these players into working a bit harder. Some of them clearly aren't working hard enough. I don't care.
Yeah, I hope so, but some of our players have got no shame, have they?
No, well, I think we're not naming names, are we?
We've named them about five times in this interview, in this video, but
yeah.
Just any way we can change it, any way we can make it feel a bit fresher between now and the final game, I really hope Ancelotti tries it, because
we need something fresh, we need something to get behind, because I, for one, with this season now effectively over, I'm finding it very difficult to get behind the established first team at the moment, but the way they're performing.
I'm finding it hard to care. Really.
I'll be honest, I woke up this morning. I mean, I was disappointed to see us lose last night, obviously. But I woke up this morning, and for a while I was in work, I just completely forgot that there was even a game last night, to be honest. And that's how quickly I tried to wipe it from my memory.
Yeah, we're playing again. It's a quick turnaround on Thursday, but I'm not even entirely sure I'm going to watch it. I don't even have any plans to do anything.
I'm not sure myself. I mean, I probably will, because I'll end up doing a vid on this and we'll do a reaction. And
I probably will, because I've got to write a match report. But it's just that will be my only motivation to watch it. I won't be watching it because this is my team and I really want them to win, because it doesn't feel like it really matters.
It doesn't feel like I can't identify with some of those players who are pulling on the Everton shirt at the moment. There's certainly not players like, we're not saying we're not naming names, certain people who pull out the challenges, 50-50s, and that's not the Everton way. It never has been. anyone who pulls out of a 50-50 is not an Everton player. And I think, dare I say it, Gary Neville nailed it when he said that.
Yeah, Gary Neville spoke for every Evertonian who's watched this crap for years last night when he said have no belief, they have no pride, they have no desire.
And believe me, I don't like blowing smoke up Gary Neville's backside, but I think he did get a lot of things right last night. And
called a spade.
He did, yeah, and it's not often you get that. I feel it's too easy, like I said before, to level it at the manager, and it's definitely not the manager's fault. You know, we've got one of the best managers in the world, despite what Miguel Delaney may think. At the end of the day, Ancelotti will be able to turn this around, but it's going to take time, and it's going to take a few risks being taken, like maybe giving youngsters a go now. Maybe go against the grain a little bit, because we can't just have the same insipid crap from the established first teamers. It's been too long now, and especially this season's really, obviously it's been longer, but it feels like even longer than that. It's just dragged so much, and I feel like those players are responsible for that to an extent.
Well, a lot of these players are responsible for getting three managers sacked. Aren't they? Koeman, Allardyce. I know he didn't help himself, but Koeman, Allardyce and Nat Silva. So a lot of these players,
there's a lot to Ancelotti, answer for.
Have a lot to answer for, and they've clearly got no loyalty or pride in the badge.
No respect for the club, and no respect for any manager who manages the club. That's it at the end of the day.
Yeah, so...
And then people know who they are.
Yeah, so to sum up, basically, let's just give some opportunities to some youngsters who... I've probably been at the club a long while. Want to succeed at the club. Want to succeed. And
deserve an opportunity more than the people who've been getting them. So
yeah, and deserve an opportunity to play under Ancelotti. It would be some 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid's dream to come play under Ancelotti. They probably couldn't imagine doing that 6 months ago, and now it's right there in front of them. So give them a go.
Don't doubt that Beningame or Onyango or Adeniran, they're all probably chomping at the bit to try and get a go under Ancelotti. Yeah. And at the end of the day, this is the best time you could ever imagine to do it, because there's no fans, no pressure. Season, as we know, is effectively over. These are five pretty much dead rubber games to blood players in the Premier League. Young players with no experience can get experience in probably the easiest environment they could have wished for.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah, so there you go. Pick the kids. That's all we're saying. Carlo, I mean, you know, what does Carlo Ancelotti know? I mean, we could pick this team. But at the end of the day, just don't let me see Gylfi Sigurdsson on that pitch against Southampton, whatever the weather. Welcome to the match preview segment for the next game in our resumed Premier League campaign on Thursday night, Everton versus Southampton back at Goodison. And yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I mean, it's a quick turnaround, obviously, after that dismal result that we got in North London with Spurs and their new stadium. And it was a pretty grim display, whatever way you look at it. To look ahead to this game, I've got Paul alongside me. We'll get straight into the action. Or lack of it, if the previous match was anything to go by. Southampton have just put in the performance of their lives to beat Man City. Meanwhile, we've just slumped to one of the worst performances of our season and an underperforming Spurs. Going by that, there's no real cause for optimism on this segment tonight, is there, Paul?
Contrary to that, I can see us winning this game, because it's what we tend to do. We tend to lose big games away from home that the fans are up for, and then we not long afterwards we tend to win games at home that don't mean anything. It's only for years I can remember when we lost to Wigan in the FA Cup
and then beat City at home, even though we had not played for.
Yeah, and then I think the season before that we lost to the worst Liverpool team in history at Wembley, and then a few days
beat Fulham 4-0 the week after.
Yeah, and put four past United at Old Trafford. I think that was the very next game. Yeah.
Well, I think the best example of it was we beat Brighton 1-0 a week after losing that derby to their kids this season.
Yeah. It's just, it makes no sense, but it's just what Everton have done for years upon years. And I can see it happening again here. I really can. I can see us going in, playing really relaxed, playing fluid football, and probably sucking some fans back into thinking that we're actually on the up again. Papering over the cracks. It's what I can see us doing. I really can.
I'll be honest, though, having witnessed the Spurs game, I'm not sure if it's going to wash anymore, because this is not the first time this season, like we mentioned, that game against Liverpool's kids and all that. This is not the first time these players have put in these kind of turgid displays this season. And, you know, we've got one of the best managers in world football now, and, you know, it's definitely not the manager's fault. It's the players. And, I mean, if it shouldn't be any more obvious to us fans now that some of these players just aren't fit for purpose. And, I mean, we could say this till the cows come home, couldn't we, about slating the certain players in this team who are perennial letdowns, let's be honest.
Yeah, they give it all that. They come out after a game and say all the right things, and then the following game afterwards, they just absolutely bottle it, don't turn up, play well below their level. Coleman is the chief one for it. He was doing it again the other day. I want to see Everton in the conversation for Champions League. I'm sick of Everton
underperforming.
It's like, clip
your teammates around. You're the captain. Clip your teammates around the ear when they put in a stinker like Gylfi Sigurdsson did yesterday, or Andre Gomez did yesterday.
Exactly.
You've got to get in.
Show some leadership.
You're the leader. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I think I was speaking earlier on, wasn't I, about Gary Neville, and how much I was impressed with the things he said on Sky last night. But his brother did, whether you liked him or not, Phil Neville, I'm not sure whether you're a big Phil Neville fan or whether you were a detractor of his, or...
Not as a player, but I do like him as a person.
As a leader, I thought he was
a
much better leader than anything we've got now. And I think that showed in the difference of the character of this team. There's no character in this team. And, you know, Seamus Coleman, he's been a good servant to Everton, a very loyal servant, done very well for a number of years. But he's not a captain. He's not an Everton captain. Nor was, dare to say it, Jagielka before him. Jagielka wasn't great, but he was still better than Coleman as a captain.
The last few years, our captains have just been the most popular boy in...
Yeah.
Spineless, most popular boy in class type thing. The person in class who everyone has a laugh with and thinks is really sound. So let's give him the captain because no one falls out with him. That's not the job of a captain. The captain's job is to fall out with people and to clip people around the ear and to get in people's face saying, you're crap, you need to be better.
It it boiled my blood watching Lloris rip into Son after he made that mistake at the end of the first half.
Because he's a captain.
That's what I mean. He was doing what Coleman should be doing when players are getting in behind our defence. And he never does. I don't care. He's had a couple of good games as well, Coleman, since the lockdown ended. But he's not washing for me as a leader. He's not a captain. And I don't think we really have any captain material, certainly not in the more experienced players in the ranks.
I think Angelotti will sign one when he can. Summer.
That could be a very crucial signing because that could be the difference, to be honest. Even when we might play awfully like that again, but we might not lose just because we have a leader who can, you know, drag us back into the game.
Yeah, but Angelotti, all his managerial career, has always had strong captains. He's had Maldini, had Nesta. Yeah, he's had Casillas for Real Madrid.
John Terry at Chelsea, whether you like him or not.
John Terry at Chelsea, yeah. Angelotti knows how crucial a captain is for a successful side, so I've got faith that in due course he'll sort that out. But going back to the Southampton game, as I said before, I can see us just turning up for this one and basically playing to our level, because on paper, our squad is better than Southampton's. We're above them in the league.
Is it really?
Not by much, but I think it is, because we're on our third manager of the season and we're still above them. Do you know what I mean? And they got spanked 9-0 earlier this season. I think their squad is not very good. It's just got three or four players in it who are having really good seasons. Now, our squad's probably got three or four good players in it, but I don't think any one of them's having an outstanding season.
No, not necessarily, but I do think their midfield, their whole team as a unit is far more cohesive than ours.
Yeah, I agree with that. They're better coached than we've been the past year or so, and they've got a game plan and a style of play that they're all established in. But if you look at their team, I think you'd pick, on paper, you'd take more of our players than their players if you had to mix them. But my point is, I think we'll go man for man with them in this game, and I think we'll beat them. Not, you know, I don't think we're going to spank them or anything. I think it will be tight. I could see a 1-0 or a 2-1.
It'll be a 1-0. We don't score many goals. And to be fair, we don't concede many, to be honest. We've only conceded twice since the restart. I think that's the saving grace of...
Yeah, and both of those goals were a bit... Both of those goals were stupid as well. But, yeah, I'm not saying this to put down Southampton. It's just, I think Everton will just do what Everton typically do. We'll respond after a really poor performance in a crucial game with a good slash really good performance in a game that ultimately isn't that important.
Has no relevance, really, no.
When the pressure's off, yeah, it's just what Everton do. We always win games that fans are not bothered about.
Well, I think somebody made a meme of that actually on Twitter earlier on, and I sort of nailed it. It was literally just like the dog meme, and it's just the dog with like six pack, like Everton when there's no pressure, and then it's like the other dog crying, and it's like Everton when you can get into the European places.
Yeah, it's just a mentality thing.
It is.
It's a mentality thing, like Gary Neville's pointing out. That we're not. It's not even just these group of players, because it's been players in generations before this. It's a club thing. The club doesn't have the mentality of winners. We don't win when our backs are against the wall. We don't seize a victory from the jaws of defeat. We don't get ourselves into the big time. We don't compete for anything. It's like we're just happy to be there. And as long as we don't get embarrassed, then the players will go off not really feeling too sorry for themselves. I hope he was right, Gary Neville, when he said, I hope these Everton players get on the coach and feel really, really embarrassed and really terrible. But I don't think they will have done. No, I think they'll have just shrugged the shoulders and gone, oh, well, it's another game on Thursday. There's always next time. There's always Thursday when we play Southampton. And that'll be what happens, in my opinion, at least, what I was saying. They'll come out for Southampton as if that loss didn't happen against Tottenham and just play normally and easily without pressure and probably get a good result.
And that's the difference. I think if we had a proper captain, we wouldn't be tolerating these kind of displays. Certainly not it there in the moment on the pitch. I think the captain would definitely have something to say if we had a proper leader.
Great captains don't let standards drop. You can have a great captain and your team still isn't very good because the quality of the team's just not up to the level.
Bear in mind, we had Dave Watson as captain and stayed up against Coventry and Wimbledon.
That team was awful.
Team was well worse than this on paper. You know, we had Carl Tyler and Klaus Thompson and God knows what in that team, but
yeah,
you know, we still managed to show more fight than this team does.
Yeah, and even back in the Moyes years, I know a lot of people don't like him, but even Alan Stubbs in that 04-05 season, do you know what I mean? There was a lot of get times in that season where we just stayed in games and nicked them and showed a lot of spirit.
Even though we
haven't showed
well.
That for years. Yeah, I can't remember the last time Everton... there's been like little one-off games here and there, like Norwich the other week, but I can't think of a time when we went through this prolonged period of just being this really gritty team that digs in and is hard to beat and nicks results. We just don't ever seem to do it.
You're probably talking towards the end of the Moyes years for the last time we had spells like that, because we played well under Martinez, but we were always a bit brittle, and ever since Martinez, it's been a complete mess, really.
We were always a front foot team under Martinez. We would always play really well and win well. And concede, yeah. Whenever we won, it wasn't because we battled for it. It was just because we were able to sweep aside a really crap defence that was worse than us.
That was it.
And under in managers since then, we've not really built anything, have we? It's just been...
No.
It feels like every game we've just been winging it under three managers.
And I think
just go out there on the day and hopefully something clicks.
But I think even under Ancelotti now, who's one of the best managers there is, I think we've still got to wing it because these players are that awful.
Yeah. And he's tried his best to instill some old-fashioned Italian steel hasn't he? But it's the certain players who are just are lost causes.
There's no such thing as stealing some of these players. And
no.
I think there's far too many of them. They need weeding out. And hopefully it'll only be another year or two before these names that we're naming are on the way. I think contracts are starting to run out. Thankfully, we've seen a couple of wasters leave last week. Players are starting to be moved on, which is a really good sign. Now it's about making sure we bring in the right players to replace those, and they don't always have to be expensive buys.
No, just the right characters, players who want to come in and fight. Do you know what I mean? I don't mean fight as in like have scraps. I mean fight as in come in and prove themselves, show the worth, achieve something. There's a really good quote I like. I don't want people who want to jump on the train when it's moving. I want people who want to get the who want to push the train and get it moving in the first place.
And that's exactly what we need. We're a train that's not moving at the moment. We need to get it moving. That's a very good analogy.
Yeah. So I can see us winning this game really tightly, a 1-0 or a 2-1. And hopefully fans don't fall for it and get suckered back in thinking, oh, well.
With a gear now, we're going to win the league next season.
Tom Davis or Andre Gomez or Bernard played really well today. Maybe we can stick with them and use them next season. Oh no, do you know what I mean? We've seen what they're like when the going gets tough. Sigurdsson, if he plays, God forbid he doesn't, but if he does and he scores a winner, I really hope fans don't just forget what happened the other week and start making out like he's great again.
I think people were starting to do that, weren't they, after Leicester, and like they were
little
starting,
bit.
He's been playing pretty well until the Spurs game, and people were going, is Gylfi back? Like, is he back to like the Gylfi we had like last season?
Or have we just found a use for him? We can bring him off the bench just to slow the pace down in games to something that suits us. But no, he's useless. He's useless.
He's a waste.
And there's other players who are wasters as well. And regardless of what happens between now and the end of the season, they shouldn't have a future here. Regardless of how well they might play or how many points they might help us pick up, we've seen what happens or what they offer when we're up against the wall and we need to win a game that is really important to the season. There's no point turning it on when no one cares.
And that's literally Everton in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah. So for this Southampton game, I'll go for a 2-1.
Yeah, I was just going to get on to our predictions, and it is going to be one of them games.
All right, we'll go on.
It's going to be one of them no one cares about, isn't it? Like, it's the kind of game Everton normally win on. I think you nailed it when you said that. So you've gone for a 2-1, have you?
Yeah, I'll go for a 2-1. I fancy Dominic Calvert-Lewin to score. He hasn't scored for a little while. And maybe Luca Dean.
Okay,
maybe a Luca Dean set piece, because we're due a Luca Dean goal, aren't we? So, yeah, I'll go for a very tight 2-1, and afterwards the players come out and give it all the same old talk about
we're going to get in the top four next season and all.
Yeah, we want to battle. We know we let you down. We want to prove people wrong. Shut up. Do you know what I mean? Just get the points.
I've had enough of them stupid sound bites now, I think.
Yeah, so 2-1 for me.
Yeah, I'm not going to be that optimistic. I'm going for a 1-1 draw. You might be right on the Calvert-Lewin front. I think he might get a goal, but I don't think we've got enough in us to get a win, to be honest. I think it's just, when you look at the way Southampton played against City, if they play half as good as that, we've got no chance.
Yeah. If they play half as good as he did against City, then we'll get tonked, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully those type of performances are once a season.
Well, we've got to hope that, because there's not, like you say, there's not enough character in this team to turn it around if they do get up and running like they did against City.
Yeah. Oh, if they take the lead, then I don't think we'll get anything.
If they take the lead, I'm switching the stream off. That's it. That's Everton for you, I think. You might as well. I think that sums Everton up, to be honest with you. I think it's just, if Everton go behind, you might as well turn the game off, or you might as well leave the grounds if you're in the grounds, because there's no fight in them. They're not going to fight back.
Mental midgets.
Yeah. Best way of putting it. But I wonder if these mental midgets can get a unlikely win on Thursday?
I think so, but it won't really, as I said, it won't really matter even if they do.
It won't matter, and to be honest, I'm not bothered in the slightest now. Like I say, the season's effectively over. The only thing that might drag me back in is if the kids get it going, if they start to, you know, show something a bit different, and hopefully they do, because until then, I can't be bothered watching another Gylfi Sigurdsson and Andre Gomez midfield. So, yeah. Just depressing, isn't it? It's just, it's terrible, but it's Everton. that literally sums everything up, to be honest. I think that's just the best way of putting it. And we'll finish on that bombshell, because I can't be asked talking about Everton anymore, to be quite fully honest.
It's been our goal in this, hasn't it? It's why we've been repeating ourselves. It's so hard to even give a toss about Everton, isn't it?
Why should you even expend the energy when Gylfi Sigurdsson can't be bothered expending his energy on putting a tackle in?
Yeah, we put more effort into these videos than Gylfi Sigurdsson has since he got here 3 years ago, whenever it was. And he's on 100 grand a week.
So yeah, there you go, guys. There's my match reaction to Everton 0 Southampton 3. And we'll get that ready for next. I might as well pre-start pre-recording that if we can see the first goal. So there you go, guys. That's the end of the very depressing match preview. let us know what you think, how you think it's going to pan out, and if you've got a bit more optimism in you than Paul and I have got. Guys on the podcast, of course, unfortunately there's still no quiz, but we're gonna finish with a song as always. Paul's in the hot seat this time. Paul gets to pick a song to see us out of the podcast. Have you got anything in mind, Paul?
Oh, you've sprung that on me.
I always do,
you know. Let's go for something a bit uplifting. Do you know what I mean? Because this has been such a depressing podcast.
Very depressing.
Let's end on a nice upbeat song. Do you know the song Escape?
The Pina Colada song?
Yes, the Pina Colada song. Let's have that. Pina Coladas and getting caught in the rain. we'll have that.
Yeah, we'll have that. Rupert Holmes in it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice song to get you smiling. If this comes on when you're having a drink, then I always...
I love it when it comes on. Nice, this used to come on in Aloha or something, didn't it, in sound?
It did, yeah. That's when I thought of it, yeah.
Definitely. Let's get a win on Thursday against Southampton. You know,
hopefully feel a little bit less miserable afterwards.
Puff the back hope. Let's all go to town. Celebrate. Yeah. And Rupert Holmes, the Pina Colada song, will come on in some gap. That, I believe in that.
Yeah.
There we go. So we'll finish off with Rupert Holmes and Escape, courtesy of Paul, and thank you for tuning in on the Toffee Blues. If you like Pina Coladas, getting caught in the rain. If you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain. If you like making love at midnight, in the dunes on the Cape. I'm the love that you've looked for. Write to me and escape. About my lady, I know that sounds kind of mean, but me and my old lady have fallen into the same old old routine. So I wrote to the paper, took out a personal ad, and though I'm nobody's poet, I thought it wasn't half bad.
smile in an instant. I knew the curve of her face. It was my own lovely lady. And she said, oh, it's you. Then we laughed for a moment. And I said,